This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, Clement. Thanks for speaking with me. Now, the transformation of PNB with Tan Sri Abdul Wahid Omar at the helm has been touted as one of the key themes to look out for this year by research houses. As it is, we have seen the demerger of UMW Oil and Gas from its parent company and Sime Darby's spin-off exercise of its plantation and property businesses. While in Sime Darby's case, specific details will only be revealed later, it seems market reaction has been pretty mixed. I'd like to maybe start with your observation first, you know, from these two developments.
On the whole, Weilin, I'm positive on these two developments. For UMW, the demerging of its auto business from its oil and gas business would remove its holding company discount, and this will be value accretive for its shareholders. In Sime's case, it will depend on whether it goes for an IPO or a demerger. The value creation is better if it demerges the plantation business, but if it is an IPO, the value creation will be reduced by a holding company discount at Sime's level. Less value will be created for shareholders under an IPO scenario, in my view.
Some analysts have pointed out their concern that demerging this could lead to a derating risk to the holding company.
Yeah, well, clearly if it's a demerger scenario, then it gives the market an opportunity to value both businesses in a more transparent and accurate way. So I would expect more value to be thrown up when there's a demerger situation. But net-net, given that PNB would have done a significant amount of work on this front, and I'm sure they're well advised by the bankers, that they see value creation, you know, at the Sime Darby as a whole. So I would be positive on this development.
Now, PNB also owns controlling stakes in Maybank, SB Certia, CCM and MNRB. What do you reckon will be PNB's next move to unlock and create more value in these companies?
Yeah, well, I guess what PNB has done recently does make sense. PNB has an ongoing obligation to pay dividends to its unit holders and shareholders, and to achieve this, it has to look at unlocking value or de-gearing or divesting its non-core assets to maximize the cash flow generation for its companies. We may potentially see situations where PNB can monetize some of their assets, for example, by creating a new REIT vehicle, which can be listed on Bursa Malaysia. PNB can generate long-term income by participating in infrastructure projects, which have long-term dividend-paying potential. Fourthly, because our domestic market is crowded, I would expect PNB to develop a more cohesive strategy in relation to its overseas investments, though this will not be in properties. If you look at the recent announcement by PNB, they did make a brief mention of this overseas focus in the next 5 years.
In terms of its overseas investments, it accounts for, I think, 2% of its portfolio currently?
Yes. I think it will be interesting to see the methodology and how they will organize their approach towards investing in the overseas markets. And I think the path may be quite similar to some of the other sovereign funds around the world. And I think they've chosen a very good person to do that, which is Tan Sri Wahid, because not only has he got a significant amount of experience with the government, but he's got a very long and good track record in the corporate sector. And I think if anyone was to do it, I think Tan Sri Wahid is probably the right person for this leadership role.
What about privatization as a means to unlock and create value? Do you think out of all of its strategic key assets or companies, what's the likelihood of PNB privatizing them and relisting them in the near future?
It is possible. I think on some of the companies where they have a majority stake in and where one could see some undervaluation, it is possible. And I think if we look back in history, that was exactly what Sime has done, you know, with companies like Consolidated Plantation in the 1990s, Tractors Malaysia. So this is something that PNB has done. And I think if there was undervaluation with any of their companies, it would be certainly a plausible option for them.
Which ones would be right? Banking sector, property, which one?
Well, I suppose if one had to look around to the various sectors, I think autos is an area where I think the market has put in quite a big discount at the moment. A lot of the stocks there are trading at a deep discount to their book value. I suppose the other sector is properties, where there's a significant amount of undervaluation at the moment.
Now, PNB is sitting on cash holdings of 20% of its portfolio. I was in Khazanah's most recent PC as well, and it said that it's ready to deploy its cash and fund. So from a fund manager's perspective, is this a case of interest rates, you know, expected to stay low for a while at this part of the world, or is it more of a case where real opportunities are emerging?
Well, taking the experience of a petitioner, and this certainly applies to us as well, is that I think the level of cash really depends on the opportunities that are available. And there are some reports that PNB has around 20% in cash, you know, based on assets of about 260 billion ringgit, that would translate to roughly around 52 billion in cash. So I think it really is a function of opportunities rather than interest rates at the moment, I would say.
Okay, so I'm trying to see from an investing point of view, with PNB being more of an activist approach now in the market, how much of a boost do you think this will give to investor sentiment as well as to the market in Malaysia?
Well, with some of these deal flow, obviously it helps to excite the stock market. For example, if we have a large plantation IPO and if Sime was to take that route, I'm sure it will be incrementally positive for sentiment. These sort of IPOs help put a spotlight on our stock market. And we look back in the last 3 years, the largest IPO on Bursa Malaysia was Malakoff, and that wasn't a very big IPO by all measures. So IPOs do bring attention to the stock market, big deals, corporate restructuring. So this would be important for sentiment. Having said that, I think we would need other fundamentals to kick in as well for investors to change what is currently a cautious view on the Malaysian market.
And on M&A deals specifically, Tan Sri Wahid also, he was quoted end of last year saying that there could be potentially more M&A deals that could spur trading activities. So within Malaysia itself, what kind of M&A opportunities? I understand that you mentioned auto and property earlier, but yeah, what kind of opportunities that you would perhaps look forward to?
Well, typically some of these M&A opportunities emanate from weak shareholding structures, and there may be instances where, whether these are in construction sectors or in the oil and gas sector, etc., some of the shareholding structures are fragmented. These could potentially be candidates for M&A. And as I've mentioned earlier on, I think the three key sectors where there has been significant corrections are in the oil and gas sector, the auto sector, and the property sector. And there is value in these sectors if one was looking for a discount. But overall, I think in terms of our view, the market has not corrected very significantly. Case in point is that if you look at the market's valuation, it's trading at 16 times 2017.
That's the FBM KLCI.
That's the FBM KLCI. That's pretty close to its long-term average. So the market is not a bargain as a whole, given that it's trading pretty much on its long-term averages.
Right. So in a way, it's not that cheap.
It is not that cheap, yeah. And the reason why it's not that cheap is because the local funds have been very cashed up in the last one or 2 years. And every time there is a weakness or correction, local funds have basically taken advantage of weaknesses to buy.
Right. So do you foresee local funds ramping up on their investment activities this year as well?
I would say it's logical. We're seeing improvements in data points, in macroeconomic data points. Commodity prices have improved, such as palm oil and crude oil. Mm-hmm. Our trade numbers are looking stronger in the last couple of months. So there are a couple of data points that would suggest that investors would be taking a more positive view in the coming months.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Clement.
Thank you, Will.
And that was Clement Chew, CEO of Apex Investment Services Berhad.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.